Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we invite, we plead for your glory, God, to manifest in this place. That you would proclaim, God, your name, God, of your radical love and mercy and grace over our lives. Lord, would you help us to worship you, God, that we may have the strength to comprehend, God, all that you have to share with us. So give us your strength, God. Send your spirit. Illuminate your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are embarking on a very difficult journey to discover what is worship. What does it mean to worship? So we know from Scripture that God, since creation, created us into the image of God. He desires to be close to us, radically close to us. And you heard me read John 17 quite often to discuss the oneness that he desires for us is the same kind of oneness he has within the Trinity. That's radical. That's radical connection. And so for marriages, it's the same. It's a model of closeness. But it's all about connection. It's God's desire to bring us into his nearness. Radical nearness. So there was an elaborate sacrificial system in the Old Testament so that his people could come near and have a relationship with God, to be a people of God. Now, the angels are in heaven. They are near God, but they are not radically close to God in the way that God has designed us. He created us to be his children. So it's different. So angels, they fly around with their faces covered. They're not going to be glorified one day to see God in the same manner. So, on the cross, when Christ was crucified, and when the crucifixion was accomplished, the curtain that separated the inner Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where only the high priest, once a year, would dare to go in after cleansing himself. That was torn open. And the New Testament explicitly indicates that we have access to the inner Holy of Holies, the glory of God, and hence worship is not for God. It's for us. Just like the creation of Sabbath was not for God, God doesn't get tired. He doesn't need rest in the way we do. We are desperate to worship God. We're desperate to come into his presence. And so we worship God in spirit and truth. So we talked about the glory of God. Coming into his presence is coming into his glory. And we said there are two things about the glory of God. It is the manifestation of his holiness. And we're going to discuss what holiness is. Holiness is God's entire being, his character, in only the way that God can be, set apart, worthy. That's why worship, it is the ascribed worth to that radical, otherworldly, set-apart quality of God. So the glory of God, we're coming into, as God manifests his quality, we're coming into that. And as we come into that, then God proclaims his name. Now, we had talked last week the name, when we give a child a name, right? We most often give them a name that's nice to hear. We don't try to name a child. I mean, the Old Testament was, was pretty radical in naming their children. Like, Naomi's son, like, you know, I think it was Ruth's husband. It could be the brother-in-law or it could have been the husband. His name was Weak. His name was Weak because he was sickly and he died, you know, early. But that, we get a sense, right? So the names of God. So we read in Exodus 34, when God shows Moses his glory, he doesn't show him in, through the eyes, or else Moses would die. God showed his glory in proclaiming his name. That's what scripture says. So he proclaimed love. He proclaimed mercy. He proclaimed grace. He proclaimed his righteousness and justice. And Moses received it. He received that glory. So in essence, God was singing over Moses how radically he loves Moses. And then Moses turns around and says, now that I received favor, now that I know how much you love me, worship is coming into the affirmation of God's love, mercy, grace for us. And necessarily, he shows us Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, as the epitome of this is how much I love you. This is how just I am. But this is the extreme length I will go to have you as my own. So, that's worship. The manifestation of his holiness, the proclamation of his name, because it is coming into that glory of God. Now, I want us to kind of step back, and if there was anything that God was showing me, you know, during the sabbatical, and that was that I have lost sight how important, how needy I am for the glory of God, his presence. You know, not being diligent to host his presence in my own house, and not being very diligent and vigilant about hosting his presence in our church. See, Jesus is the Word, right? And I'll give you an example of this. My dad joined a book club when I was young. I mean, I think it was just his way of trying to let me become more academic. And then he forced me to write book reports. And I was young. I was probably in third grade, you know, when he started this, maybe fourth. And, you know, it started out with kids' books. You know how many times I read Danny and the Dinosaur? Tons. I never made it to like a chapter book. You know what I'm talking about? Chapter books. There are no pictures. Couldn't get it. Like it didn't, you know, it was like, man, 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 man. It's like, I needed pictures. I don't mind comic books. My first chapter book I ever read that wasn't a Cliff Note was Animal Farm. And I read that probably my junior or senior year in high school. I couldn't believe that the book is so thin. I don't know if you've ever read it. It's like so thin, right? But it was like an entirely different experience. I didn't have to drudgery thing, you know, like, words, words, words. And I'm sure for those who are listening to my sermon right now, words, words, words. I'm like, what the heck is he saying? Right? But those words became pictures and stories, and it came to life. It came to life. Bunch of words came to life, and I beheld the story. Now, the gospel is just a story. It could just be a bunch of words until it isn't. Jesus Christ is just a story, until it isn't. Now that is not up to you. That takes the Holy Spirit to bring life to those words. But I believe, right, we're transitioning. I was giving insights into the spiritual world. You don't need insights. You need the Spirit illuminating the gospel and having God sing over you how He delights in you, how much He loves you. We need to receive. Coming to church, praying, is not about giving to God. God doesn't need anything. He delights in giving. We're not like that. You ever try to give people? We all have limits, don't we? You know? Even to our kids. You know, they gotta be grateful. You know? There's not only a limit. Start taking you for granted, it'll automatically cease. God delights to give, 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 give. You know? And the only time He doesn't really delight to give is when it's not good for us to give. Like when He spoils us. He doesn't have limits like us. We'll talk about that. So the second part, right? The glory of God shared, talked about last week. The glory of God received. We need to receive the glory of God. And that's going to be a two-parter. And we're talking about the glory of God reflected. Let's talk about the first part. Jesus teaches us how to come into the presence of God in prayer. Hallowed be thy name. It means literally to make His name holy or to treat Him as holy. His name is holy. So we're going to talk about that as a coming into, as a preparation for, to receive the glory of God. There's two parts. Trust His holy name with all your heart. Seek His holy name with all your heart. So when you say, well, what does it mean to hallow His name? These are the two things you have to remember. And we'll try to argue that. All right, let's read. This is Jesus is saying, this is how you come, right? Before the presence of God. And when you pray, Matthew 6:7, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is amazing. Pray then like this. This is how you get started. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And just pause. Remember what we said with the name of God? God is love. God is mercy. God is grace. So what does that mean then to treat His name as holy? Okay. Let's look at the idea of holy. Leviticus 10:10. You are to distinguish, this is the command, between the holy and the common. See, God's love is not common. It's not like our love. You know what I mean? Like how we have limits, you know, with people, even our own children. He's different. You think God is gonna, because you've been backsliding, right? You think He's gonna treat you like you would treat somebody else. God's not like that. You gotta distinguish God's love, His mercy, His grace from your own. He is uncommon. He's radical. His justice is radical. That's why if He loves you radically and He is just radically, that's why the cross is radically necessary. And you have to come into it. You have to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. It's not like God's your buddy. God is not, you know, He's not tolerant to sin. That's not love. If God was tolerant to sin, then Jesus Christ would be unnecessary. So when you come into worship, you have to recognize that His name, His love, mercy, grace, justice is radically not like ours. It's better. I had a coffee with a friend. Went through a real dark time, just real dark time. We're just talking about, you know, just this dark night of the soul, just really depressed. He's just on a lot of meds, you know. And we're just talking. And the one thing he was just saying, you know, Henry, just this idea of becoming close to God, this oneness. I bet you there's something in scripture. I bet you, right? It's like this, Henry. Like God is like this white paint. It's big, big white paint. And we're like these speck of like different color. And it would just ruin that whiteness if we just mixed. You know? And so he just can't mix or else we would pollute, you know, his presence. I bet you there's something in scripture that says that God wants the radical oneness means he would have to cleanse us and, you know, I bet you there's something. Then I read John 17, you know, to say, yes, the kind of oneness that he has within the Trinity is the kindness oneness he wants with us. So then he would have to cleanse us. He would have to make us pure white. I knew it, he said. I knew, right? There was something in scripture. I said, you know, when you have the Spirit of God, because I do that sometimes, you know, you're almost like, yeah, I bet you scripture says this. I bet you. And you know, now you don't go and search for what you think scripture, you don't want scripture to say, but there's an intuition from your spirit. Right? If God is holy, or if God is this, then the Word of God would speak to it. Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. Profanity. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. You know, at the heart of profanity is treating God like he's really not God. You know, I hate when people say, oh, holier than thou. It's like, holier than thou? You know, you mean God is like radically loving? That God is radically merciful? Yeah, but that's not what people mean. You know, when they use, you know, all these profanities portray God or Jesus Christ, you know, like it just makes him common. And we come in here thinking that God is common. Like, oh, I can't do another thing for God. I'm just, we're talking about God. Neither have they taught the difference between the clean and the unclean. There are leaders and parents who just wants God to be a tolerant God. Making God tolerant to sin is negating the cross of Jesus Christ. Leviticus 22:31 says, so you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, and you shall not profane my holy name. Don't make my love like common. Don't make my justice common. That I may be sanctified, that means hallowed. That I may be treated as holy among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Makes you holy. That means you will love like God. If the promise of sanctification is for all believers, then you will love the way God loves. You will love, you will have forgiveness. That's why when Peter was asking Jesus Christ, how many times do I have to forgive? Three times? No. Forever. Innumerable. Numbers 20:12. But Yahweh said to Moses. Now, Moses was the humblest man on earth. Okay? This is what the humblest man did. Okay? But Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not trusted in me. And here's the idea. To regard me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land that I have given to them. God forbade Moses and Aaron to go into the promised land. They had to watch the Israelites go into the promised land. You know why? Because Moses didn't trust in the name of God. He didn't trust that God was merciful enough to forgive all that griping, that God was big. See, here's the problem. Moses was small. And he projected his smallness to God. But God's not like that. God is true. If God says you're going to go into the promised land, you're going to go to the promised land. If God says I'm going to provide water, then he's going to provide water. And whether we like it or not, and whether Jonah wants to run away or not, if God is bent on providing mercy, but you don't want to be part of it, but God wants you to be a part of it. In manifesting his mercy, he wants you to glorify his name. And instead, he treated God as common. Instead of, what, speaking to the rock, he struck it. Like God would just like, he like what? Here, you know, here's your water. No. Isaiah 8:12. Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what the Lord fear, what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. If you're going to, don't, whatever moments you're in, whatever's going on in your situation, don't fear your situation. Fear God. He's holy. He's all powerful. Not your boss, not your circumstances. God is radically powerful. He is sovereign. That's his name. God has you in sometimes in some of those vices, right? He's squeezing your sponge. Take a look at what's coming out, right? Ephesians 2:4, but God being rich in mercy because of his, of the what? Great love with which he loved us. This is holy love. This is the only way that God knows how to love. He will send his son to suffer and die. It's radical love stuff. And for us to come into his presence and question that, we have to trust God with all our hearts. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made alive, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God is radically loving us whether we feel like it in the moment. He doesn't know how to not, with great love, immeasurable riches of his grace. He doesn't know how not to do that. He can't not do that. Not for his children. To understand, you come, if you experience trauma, if you experience, whatever you experience, understand this. That did not happen outside the will of God. That did not happen outside the will of God. And so you come and you trust. And Proverbs 3:5 says it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you're going to hallow his name, if you want to come into his presence, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding of your current circumstances. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Trust. So trust with all your heart that God loves you with his holy, radical, utmost being and power. God is not impotent. God is sovereign, all-powerful, here's the thing, and radically loving you. You know, I really discovered just the how precious it is for me, just even in my prayer, just starting out, I say, God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for remembering me when you were hanging on the cross, that you remembered all my sins and you suffered for them. You took all my shame upon yourself. There's nothing that God doesn't know. And it's just saying, God, I come just as I am. I just come just as I am. You know, it's Thanksgiving, isn't it? It's Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is about trust. Trust God. If you don't trust God, you can't be thankful. Right? And finally, seek God with all your heart. John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from, where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, I say this because I don't want to make it sound like, you know, for those who have experienced the glory of God. God just came upon me. He was just like, I was like listening to like a sermon. His parents would get, and I have to like stand up in this like Baptist church, and everybody was pretty like, you know, like this. And I just like, and I would just be crying and sobbing, and I would have to leave the service. I would be driving, I would be listening to a song, and God's presence would just come upon me. I didn't do anything. I didn't try. You know what I mean? Like, there's a time when God is just like, you know, probably saying to Jesus, you know, son, just throw him a bone. Throw him a bone. You know? And it's like, you know, I wasn't doing much. You know, I was just like, God just came upon me. But then there's this verse, right? Ephesians 1:4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and blameless before him. He chose you to be holy. That means he chose you to forgive like he forgives. Not like you feel like forgiving. He chose you to love the way he loves. So in love, because he loves us, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. That means he has adopted you so you could be like him in that way, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glory. We love this verse, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for shalom," right? This peace, this wholeness, and not for evil. Here the word really means, I think, harm and misery. To give you a future and a hope. Now we're going to talk about hope, okay, as we talk about, you know, eschatology, and hopefully we can get to that in Revelations. But then he says this, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." So there is this trusting with all your heart, and there's this, like, God wants us. Because what does it mean to be holy? It means to be all your heart. That's where you're going right now. You're not going to be the same, folks. There is not a scenario where you don't love with all your heart. That's God's goal, to make you holy. That means all your heart. Deuteronomy 4:29, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart, with all your soul." So there is this, like, God will come upon you. You weren't even looking, and just, you were loved. I just happened to be at church, and, you know, I went to a retreat. Then there's this other thing where you're like, you know, where God wants you. Because he would not love us. He cannot make you holy if you don't get all your heart. You got to get all your heart. If you think, I'm just going to fit God into my schedule, you know? You know, I do this on this day, you know, I go to sleep on that time, and like, I'll just fit God in. That's not all your heart. Psalm 119:10, "With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches." We have a happiness issue. We have I struggle with depression issue. And what God is saying is, trust me with all your heart and seek me with all your heart. There is a whole heart requirement to delight in God. Now, does it mean that we don't ever delight in God when we're like down and out? No, of course not. God is merciful in ways I cannot even comprehend. But trust me when I say this. There is a whole heart, right? Ultimately, because that is God's command, that we be holy. You cannot be holy without being all your heart. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," what will be added to you. So don't be anxious, folks. Reprioritize your life. Take a look at your calendar, your daytime things. What does it mean to host God's presence in your home? What do you have to rearrange? What things do you have to give up? What plans do you have to change? Right? What are the things that are required of you to host the presence of God in your homes? And how about church? We're going through the same thing. The kingdom of God is first. Seeking God with our hearts. It's kind of crazy and awkward, isn't it? And I remember, you know, it's just, we don't know sometimes. When I went to college, you know, I didn't know I loved kimchi that much until I went to college. I just craved Korean food, right? I don't know about Shane, you know, I don't know if like you discovered Korean food when you went to college, you know? A lot of people do. I don't know, Kayla, did you just discover I love Korean food? You know, some of you discover, man, I really love mom and dad. Maybe not dad, but you know, I really love mom. There's something about life. It's just the way sin is. We live in a fallen world. We don't know that we really love God. You know, I didn't realize how much I loved my mom until she passed away. See, here's the thing. I have these large gaps of time where I don't realize stuff. I didn't know how much I loved my daughters, you know, until they left home. You know, I didn't know how, you know, I just didn't know. It's just like, I'm just like this cloud, you know, of deception. You know, and all I'm saying to you, see, God is not like that. He's on all the time. He doesn't forget. He doesn't take you for granted. He's not like us. There's not a time when he's not absolutely crazy about you. And just because you hurt doesn't mean he doesn't. But it does mean just because you hurt that he's also hurting. He loves you, but he is not going to remove the requirement for you to seek him with all your heart. Why? Because then you wouldn't be holy then. Holy means utmost, all your heart. And it's just the only way God knows how to love us. He doesn't love the angels that way. He didn't send his son Jesus Christ to die for them on the cross. But it does mean that if you come into his family, if you come into his own, it is a requirement for us to be holy. And the thing about seeking, I hope you read in all those verses, that when we seek him with all our heart, what? Here's the promise. He will be found. He will be found. He will be found. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we don't always see, God, how much you love us. Just, we're so blinded. Just, you know, just even how much we love you and how much we love our family, how much I love my wife, how much I love my children. Your heart is just so just clouded and just, God, so sinful. God, would you break through? God, help us to trust you with all our hearts, to seek you with all our hearts, God. Just have your way with us in Jesus' name.